Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
He just jumped the fucking fence.
You know what I'm going to say? That was too dramatic. Chris delivered this line very calmly. He was like, yeah, he just jumped the fucking fence.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Listeners, viewers, Bachelor fans, we really have a genuine first this week.
Yes, the first time that a, quote, dramatic moment teased for 8 episodes was actually even more dramatic than the show made it seem.
The fence jump. I mean, it was everything we dreamed of and more. It was definitely so much more than what I thought it was going to be, which was going to be like Colton heard there was like a pickup football game happening down the street. I'm still reeling.
Yeah, I am so excited to talk about this episode, even though parts of it were incredibly heart-wrenching. And here to analyze all of this with us, you know, that we got to look at that fence jump from every possible angle. We have Bachelor alum and prolific recapper, Charlene Joyne.
Thanks, guys. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for coming. Always a pleasure. And this is going to be a kind of grueling episode to discuss in certain ways. A lot of emotion, a lot of violent shaking.
Yeah.
It was at times hard to watch, but it did give a lot of fodder for discussion. So I'm excited. Let's start at the beginning. Chris and Colton, we cut back in on them.
We pick back up essentially right where we left off.
Right. And I had forgotten. We left off the night of the last rose ceremony when Cassie and Hannah G and Tayshia had gotten the roses and Kaylin had gone home. And then Chris came and sort of pulled Colton away and left the women to speculate about what was going on. And it turns out that Chris was just sort of, you know, we're talking about fantasy suites again. Is it going to be awkward this time? Yeah. And Colton was like, no, because now I know what sex is.
And yeah, I learned that between Bachelor seasons, I just had a crash course.
It's like I looked at some diagrams and now I think I sort of know what happens.
It didn't really feel like that was cliffhanger worthy.
No.
They're just warming up for the big cliffhanger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was sort of expecting it to be something more explosive.
Also, yes. can we talk about how there's been this like running motif of, oh, Colton's so tired about being defined by his virginity, but like he is really driving the virgin jokes now.
He's leaning into it. It's like when you're at work, you're just like, I wish people wouldn't keep pigeonholing me. I wish they would give me an opportunity to do this more challenging project. And then they give you the more challenging project and you're like, I don't know. I feel like I feel more comfortable back with the less challenging projects I was doing before. Like, he's like, here's my chance to blossom. He's like, virgins, right? Like, they're so weird. It's me. I'm a virgin.
Oh, my God. The legs thing. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay,
oh,
sorry.
Yes,
that's what I thought of.
Okay. So,
sorry. Chronological order.
It's tough. It is tough.
Can't
keep us on a very rigid schedule. Okay.
So they're going to Portugal.
Yes. And I want to point out that in the meantime, Colton does tell Chris that he can't wait to make love with someone he's in love with, who's in love with him. And to him, that would be the ultimate ideal way of losing his virginity. We hear so many times in detail what Colton's ideal way of losing his virginity would be.
Yeah.
And it made me very uncomfortable.
It'll be tender, was it?
Tender and passionate.
Yes. But yeah. Also, don't worry, guys. He's done other stuff.
Yeah, like pretty much everything.
Like all the other things.
Yeah. No, listen, we all know the everything but, you know, approach to virginity. Like, we all went to Catholic
school, really
right?
Thought we were, like, seconds away from Colton giving a rundown of, like, every sexual act he had participated in.
I think he almost did. Like, yeah. He was like, here's the thing. I've done, not going to list them, really want to. So they're going to Algarve.
On the southern coast of Portugal.
Yes.
And Colton also clearly did not know how to pronounce it because he just delivered that in the most monotone way. He's like, where the sea meets the mountains, Portugal.
I really just, they all seemed kind of to not know about Portugal.
It's a really beautiful country. I was there last summer. It nice. Was stunning. Highly recommend it as a vacation destination. And this is Colton's first time in Europe, which is really exciting.
Yes.
And it also appears to be almost, if not all, of the women's first time in Europe.
Yeah, I didn't get the impression it was Tayshia's, or was it?
Cassie explicitly says it's her first yes. time in Europe. Tayshia, I wasn't sure.
I wasn't sure.
I feel like Tayshia's been to Europe just because of who she is.
She has the poise of someone who's like, I've been here before.
I know what a date
Europe.
Is.
Like,
she's had financial independence a little bit longer to, like, take herself on trips.
Fair enough.
So
maybe she went on a honeymoon, you know.
Right.
A lot
yes.
of possibilities. So
fantasy suites are happening.
Fantasy suite
in Portugal.
Week.
Yes.
We heard a little bit from Hannah, who I just wanted to mention because she...
Poor Hannah.
She says, everything on my list of Hannah and Colton's connection is a check.
What's on that list, Hannah?
I'm going to guess mostly it's making out.
That's the whole list.
Showers.
Is it weird that I don't even, like, feel it when I watch them make out? I know that sounds weird. But, like, you know, you watch them make out with Cassie and you're like, wow, they have amazing chemistry. Like, I still don't feel that way.
I think... Yeah. I feel like Hannah and Colton have... sexual chemistry.
Yeah, but like, I feel like it's not even like translating.
Yeah,
exactly.
I connect to nothing. Yeah. Probably because to me, we're this far in and Hannah is still like a blank slate to me.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Like, I feel no connection to her. I don't feel like I know her mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
There's a scene where they show her sort of like walking down the street in like her red blouse and jeans. And I just had this moment where I was like, if this were like a CGI thing of a Barbie character walking through a Portuguese square, it would look basically the same. Like, she just doesn't project any like personality.
Yeah. And they haven't done her any favors either.
And like, she is so perfect looking that it almost works.
It's a shame because I would. Yeah. It would be nice to be more invested in that.
Right. And it's not like a knock on her
no.
like as a person. It's just like a weird thing to watch where you're just like, where do I get a purchase in this person? It's like to understand them. But she is like, one thing we do know about Hannah G is that she's like down to bone. Like, she is really excited for the fantasy suite. She's very giggly about it. She's waiting for that day, which
poor
makes
Hannah
the
G
rest of the night so depressing.
Just gets no screen time, cut out of this episode
entirely,
completely.
Which, considering it's final three, is insane.
Yeah.
I feel like she's got to be surprised watching this season back in general, because she probably went through it thinking she's like a huge front runner, and it's like she really hasn't gotten that edit, even though she's made it really far.
I think she probably, because she told her parents, like, he's given me the reassurance. Like, she basically told her parents that he had indicated to her that she was the one. And I think she was reading a lot more into things than she should have.
Yeah.
Because clearly he never really thought she was the one.
Yeah.
But she did seem very sure. And and now this. So.
And now she doesn't even get the hot tub fantasy suite of her dreams.
I mean, who knows
does she not?
Next week. It's hard to say. I can't wait to speculate about this.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Okay. We'll get
sorry.
To that.
So,
first, Tayshia.
Yes. The only one, or the one in this episode who gets like a normal fantasy suite date. Like, this felt very, this is what we expect. They, like, it's crazy how unnotable it feels now given what came after. I was like, what did they do on this day?
Yeah, it's, no. I just remember that they sat down on what looked like very jagged rocks and like drank wine, and it was very standard. Dreamed it was a standard.
Tayshia keeps getting stuck with these like extra windy locations.
Yeah, and she's like, the wind is like blowing her hair into her mouth, and she's like, I'm so glad that we got to do this specifically. This is what I wanted. So he takes her to a helipad, and we have a very bright red, yellow, and blue helicopter. It's the helicopter date.
Did anyone else note, like, how surprised Colton seemed when Tayshia was like, it's my first time on a helicopter?
Yeah, why would he be surprised?
And I was just laughing that, like, Colton's like, it's my first time in Europe, but, like, everyone's been on a helicopter, right?
That's so true.
I feel like because he's been on a helicopter that he's like four times.
It is so weird how like literally like three or four episodes ago, someone was like, it's my first time on a helicopter. And he was like, me too. And now she said that he's just like,
he's like, how have you not been on a helicopter in the past couple of weeks? Like, I assume everyone has. They have an amazing conversation about the primary exports of Portugal, which was so great. I felt like they had just been to different like, learn about Portugal seminar. Yeah. So he was like, I wonder what, other than figs, they export here. And she says, olive oil. And he's like, extra virgin though.
Colton.
Stop. Probably all kinds of olive oil. That's not really how olive oil works. It's not like extra virgin is only from Portugal. So then they sit by this lighthouse on a cliff. And they talk about her family, and she's like, thank you so much for picking me to go on this amazing date. And they talk a lot about how he's a virgin. Mm. He toasts to sitting there with a beautiful woman that he's falling in love with.
Wow, you take detailed notes.
Yes.
She does.
I actually skipped a bunch of stuff. But I wanted to mention that because I feel like Tayshia's reactions toward the latter half of the date started to feel weird to me. Like, they felt very sort of pleased instead of, like, excited. Mm. So he would be like, a beautiful woman I'm falling in love with. And she would kind of, like, smile a little bit. And,
oh, with
like,
her mouth closed.
Yeah, with her mouth closed. And be like, And I was like, you seem, like, glad, but not, like,
yeah, I know.
Thrilled.
Yeah.
It felt like over the course of the date, she was having the realization that, like, it's not her.
Right.
Oh, you think so? I just, not that I disagree, but I thought it was interesting when he said to her, they recapped her hometown, and he was like, it was very important to me that I had their permission for your hand in marriage. And I, like, to me, it's so insane that you would say that, and you're right. Probably not going to need it. It's like,
I mean, yeah, it is.
He just wanted to have it in the back pocket.
Just in case.
I mean, it is insane. Well, I also started to feel like Colton was like pulling out these canned lines that he had prepared for the women that he wasn't going to choose.
Yeah.
Like the things he had talking points almost.
Yeah. And it's a shame.
I just feel like Tayshia's reaction felt very like professional. Like she was very poised and like.
She always is.
Yeah. Always has like kind of the right reaction, but it doesn't feel too natural. I felt more that way than I have in the past. And this is when she's like, he's like, moving around, he's like uncomfortable, and she's like, are your jeans too tight? And he says, no, my legs are too tight, I'm not very flexible, maybe it's because I'm a virgin. Does he think virginity is?
She also responds by being like, there's ways we can work that out. Like,
I feel like he's heard the word tightness associated with virginity, and he's like, so I guess it all just loosens up afterwards.
Probably. Yeah, not. I don't know that your
he's
legs
gonna take up yoga.
It's like yeah, we can talk about that later, Colton.
I wish he'd sort of resist. I mean, it's just sometimes it's funny, and most of the time it's just like,
like a little groan.
Yeah.
And it's like, I still feel like I don't know anything else about him. So, like, talk about something else. I do think that Tayshia is keeping, like, a hopeful eye towards, like, if things go well tonight and we, like, have sex, then that will mean
indicate something
in love with him. Like, that clearly this is something he wants to keep for a very meaningful relationship. And so if that happens, then it'll indicate that to me. However, that is not quite what happens. And also, she has this weird, she's like, I want to be there for Colton tonight. I know he must be so nervous, and I want to, like, comfort him. And I was like, honey, like, that's not, like, a a romantic way to talk about deflowering a man. That sounds very maternal.
It's not very sexy at all.
But she's very, like, she does seem very, like, capable, like, just as a human. Like, she's like, I've got this under control. But, like, that doesn't really, it can come off as not being a romantic connection.
But then we get to the most delightful part of the date, in which Tayshia talks about her boob tape.
Oh, yeah. I loved this
moment. It seems like the kind of thing that they normally would have edited out and saved for bloopers.
Totally.
And every year when they show the bloopers, I'm like, can we get more of this in the actual show?
Because
it shows these people are people. Mm-hmm. It's real personality. And, like, it just felt like both of them were sort of saying these canned lines.
Yeah.
And then there was this whole, like, nip slip moment and it just broke
two.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
Also, real problem. Mm-hmm. Boob tape does not always stay.
It was also the thing. If you're incredibly flat-chested, it's not a problem because there's nothing to slip out of place. Highly recommend.
What I also loved, there was like there was a meta moment when she said, don't let me be flashing the whole world.
I loved that.
Yeah. Great. Loved the boob moment.
Break the fourth wall. Yes. Give me the goods on the boob tape. Yes. Like, more of this, please. Mm-hmm.
I do like their, like, jokey, like, chemistry, even though, like, they clearly wouldn't have shown a lot of that stuff if she was the final, like, girl. They wouldn't have shown that. They would have shown more romantic moments. But it's so fun, like, how she's like, oh, no, there's tape. It should be staying. And he's like, it's not staying. And I was like, I feel like there's a moment of genuine, like, chemistry and personality there. And she tells Colton at this point that a year and a half into her marriage, after she had waited for marriage, it sounds like, to have sex, or at least
waited to meet her future husband at the time.
Right. Yeah. It seems like she made it sound like she had, like, waited
until
she was, like, sure.
In this relationship.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
Yeah. So then a year and a half into the marriage, her husband cheated on her.
To me, this felt very, you know that Bachelor timeline. It's like, well, they always ask you, well, what do you want to talk about with Colton tonight? So I feel like on her one-on-one, it was, you know, it was about the fact that she was a divorcee. You know what I mean? And it's like, it just sort of felt like this is something that you would have thought would have been brought up earlier.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was like, we have to have something to talk about in every,
every
like one-on-one time. So let's save that one till Fantasy Suite Week.
No, it's true. It felt weird that they had already talked about her divorce, but not.
Yeah, the whole
that.
Virginity thing, you would think, like, she'd be like, oh, wait, actually, hey, I waited too. And it just sort of, it felt late for that reveal. I don't mind. It's fine. But I'm just saying.
I'm also intrigued by this whole, like, he went outside the marriage phrasing, which I feel like I've been hearing more and more as a euphemism for cheating. Like, maybe it's always been equally used, but I'm noticing it more. Because I feel like also on Dating Around, that's what Gerke said.
He went outside the... Oh, I didn't clock that. But that's interesting. Because it feels
maybe
very...
Maybe I'm projecting that.
It feels very, like, kind of retro language to me.
Yeah.
It does. It feels very much like the emphasis is on the marriage as this covenant.
Yeah.
And I feel like not that about you.
That would be mentioned like at the same time as saying like that you're going steady. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just like a different terminology.
So she talks about how she was ashamed of it. But now she has this knowledge about herself and about relationships and values truth and intimacy. And Colton is impressed that she can have such a positive outlook because there's not a lot of women who could do what she does, which I guess is like get cheated on and still show her face ever. Like it's been like a year and a half. And he's like, wow, not a lot of women could like be functional a year and a half after that. Actually,
this
probably more
like
than
his
a year and
default
a half.
Speech after hearing someone's been through something hard.
That's what I mean by the canned lines. Like, it was such an odd response to that thing.
It really was.
Like,
Frequent does he think cheating, is? It's pretty frequent. A lot of people
and
have
people
experienced it.
Recover.
He kind of answered the same way he answered to, like, Kaylin having gone through her date rape story. Like, it was pretty, like... It's kind of, like, messed up, actually. It was just like, oh, wow, you overcame that. Like it was just, like, the exact same response, pretty much.
Right, and he's saying things that, when they were said the first time, to me, felt very sincere. And now it feels like he's just struggling to which is, I guess, sort of understandable, struggling to, quote unquote, advance these relationships mm-hmm. when he knows where he stands.
Yeah.
It's got to suck to be the lead.
Oh, yeah. There's such an element of, like, forced faking it
I can't even imagine, like, how much you have to pretend to maintain. Like, I can't.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to do it either. You couldn't pay me enough.
I mean, I don't think Colton is that good at it.
He's not very good at it.
He's not.
It's tough.
And, like, with Kaylin, I wasn't that bothered by this, but I started to be bothered by it here, and I think it's globally kind of a problem, is the idea that you, like, should respond to someone telling you they've gone through something hard by praising them for how well they handled it, which it's almost sets up the idea that if you didn't handle getting cheated on better than, like, everyone else who got cheated on, then, like, it's a ding on you somehow, and, like, you have to be exceptionally good at suffering instead of just, like, here's a bad thing that happened to me, and, like, everyone else, bad things happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. Yeah. And you're sorry that it happened to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they handled it exceptionally well and you're impressed, but, like, it's like he seems to think that handling it exceptionally well is a very important thing, and that everyone he knows who's done something good is, like, most people couldn't have done that. And that's not, like, a very realistic or healthy way of framing suffering.
Totally.
In my opinion.
No, so. I agree.
So anyway, he gives her the fantasy suite card, and they start playing some very interesting background music.
Can we just say Chris Harrison's handwriting has changed a lot? Anyone else notice that?
It's almost like it's not him.
You would think.
Really?
It's so drastically different.
Maybe he took a class.
Yeah.
So they head off to the fantasy suite. Tayshia's like, I don't know if he'll wake up a virgin. If he has a big smile in the morning, we'll know why.
Yeah, this music cue was just so weird.
Yep.
Usually it's like a sweeping, slow, romantic cue. And this was like, what will happen?
Like, yeah. It was just like sensual suspense.
Yeah. With like a classical like twist to it. Like it sounded very like, you know, classical to me. Okay.
So Colton is really in his head here. He's like, men put a lot of pressure on themselves to perform well. Can't relate to that as a woman. Doesn't sound familiar. You just have to have confidence that you're doing the right thing. How hard can it be? Without going into too much detail, he says, I've done pretty much, like, I'm experienced in other ways.
He's done the stuff, guys. He's been to the bases.
He's done some heavy petting, some necking. Okay, so
necking.
We've actually witnessed him doing neckings. Okay, so they shut themselves into the fantasy suite, and then we cut to the morning after. Colton does not have a huge smile on his face.
They didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
He looked like a little kid in the morning.
I know, and they were like,
he was looking up at her with his head on the pillow. He just looked like 12.
They were all in white, and the sheets were white.
They had like coordinated outfits. Like, she was wearing a white top and sort of rose gold pants, and he ended up wearing white with a millennial pink top.
Wow.
I was like, this looks like you picked them for a couple's shoot. But yeah, they're all in white, cuddled up in the blankets, and he's like, I enjoyed our conversation. In that moment, I was like, he is expecting them to play that so that he can tell the girl he does pick, we didn't have sex.
Totally. And she calls it interesting.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is the moment where she's fully like,
I kind of wish she just like really committed to this and been super honest. Because she was like, it was
Andy style.
Yeah, she sort of like kind of went there, but then was like, but it was like a really nice time. I feel like we grew our relationship.
You're like, no, you don't. You know it's done.
I really want to know what she meant by interesting.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
have her on here and find out.
What did they talk? What did they talk about? I want to know.
Like, did they fool around at all? Because
definitely.
Like,
and like, was he elusive? Like, I actually don't want to know, but I also do, and that is the genius of
the show. I unabashedly want to know.
I'm like, as soon as they start telling me, I'm going to be like, no, stop. She says, we didn't have the physical intimacy I wanted, but I got to see him for who he is. That actually sounds like out of context, like pretty hard.
Menacing.
Menacing. And it validated how she felt. She tells him that she loves him.
She's like, I felt very little, and last night really validated that for me.
They walk outside and say goodbye, and she walks away. Still in PJs. I thought that was a little odd.
But they were cute.
They were cute. Really cute. I was like, girl, stay in your PJs. It's probably been like a long 24 hours. Like, get your free time at the nice hotel in Portugal.
Yeah.
Totally.
But
she's clearly nervous at this point. She can sense that it wasn't amazing.
It's true. Colton is like, I'm not in love with Tayshia, and I wasn't ready to take that step with her. He's still thinking about the other relationships.
Relationship.
Yeah.
Speaking
singular.
Of which.
Yeah.
Cassie.
Yes.
He is very excited. He's falling for her. Today could change everything. I was curious about why they clearly put Cassie second. Mm. And that is why they couldn't edit this for her to go last and end with a dramatic date. I'm curious why they put her second.
Instead of last. I wondered if it had to do with her dad's availability.
Interesting.
I'm reading too much into it.
Interesting. I mean, maybe. My other theory was that he would be sort of swept away and have sex with Cassie, and that would, like, loosen him up for Hannah G, who was clearly also. Listen. His legs are going to be a lot more flexible. That was like a kind of grotesque theory, but this is clearly what I think of Bachelor production.
Yeah, here I'm thinking like logistics, like her father's
a girl. You're probably more correct than I am. But I was like, I feel like they try to arrange them to get some sort of psychological.
No, I completely agree. There's something to that. It's funny. I had the same thought where I was like, why wouldn't they put Cassie last? You would think that would be the natural.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Like, I think they thought, like, my theory was that they thought that Tayshia clearly was nothing was really going to happen. Cassie was going to be a big emotional burst, and that might change how things went with Hannah, make it more dramatic in some way. Whereas if they put Cassie last, then the two first dates might be more even. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
but
whatever
they clearly fucked up.
Because... or did they not fuck up because...
Here we are talking about it.
Here we are. And I was like,
and we're
actually
really on the
riveted.
Edge of our seat. God, they're good.
I know. Just when I think, like,
you have it all figured
I'm
out.
Bored, mm-hmm. Then I'm not.
Yes.
So he pulls up in a convertible. Cassie was really pissing me off because she was wearing two sweaters. One was a turtleneck, layered, and she looked adorable.
Also, yeah, my friend did text me and was like,
she did look very cute.
You know that he's super into Cassie when he comments on how great she looks and, like, she's wearing, like, a grandma sweater. She's like,
but,
not to judge. It was
very
cute.
But it was an oversized grandma sweater.
Also, it's also that she's really hot.
Yeah. Like, so if she looks good
enough,
in literally everything.
Like, if I layered a turtleneck sweater with a chunky cardigan.
It would be a bad look.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it just, you can't pull
but
that
she
off.
Did balance it with having a miniskirt.
Right, which I didn't notice at first because all I could see was the sweater. So I was like, oh, her legs are bare. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
I agree. So it came, this outfit came together surprisingly well.
I know. And I kept looking at it and
if
having
you had
that
laid that out,
urge.
I would have been like,
Right. But I was having that feeling of like, I want to wear that. And I was like, no, it's just that she's hot. You don't want her outfit. She's just hot. And they keep kissing while he's driving. I just want to call that out. Guys, this isn't like a movie and you're on a green screen. Like, you could kill someone.
So, yeah, there's like a lot of cliffs in Portugal. Like, be careful.
They drive into a town called Tavira. He hopes by the end of the night they'll be in love.
Really? Because that's how it works.
That's how it works.
I know. I was thinking earlier, like, how convenient for Colton that Fantasy Suite Week is the week that he switches from falling in love to being in love. Like, it's just great timing.
Yeah, it is
for
convenient.
Him.
I mean, it's fitting and clearly calculated that by this point in the episode, I was already thinking about how bizarre it would be to date while paying such close attention to when your feelings shift from falling in love to in love. Like, literally within the span of a day. Like, normally when you're dating, you're thinking about it, but you're not like, I bet today.
Yeah. Today is when it will, you know, just reach that.
My favorite was in episode, I think it was 7, when at the end of his date with Tayshia, he was like, today I started to fall in love with Tayshia.
Yeah.
I could really probably trace it down to the minute that it happened. So they get espresso and pastries. They buy PJs. He is
matching.
Of course, like clearly they all just shop for PJs together. He picks up a door wedge, like a doorstop, and is like, "Oh, I thought this might be a paddle," and he whacks her butt with it. She's like, "Oh, this nightie might be too transparent," and he's like, "I wouldn't be mad at it. I love your sexy edginess, girl." He is so besotted.
Oh, yeah. It's such a difference between his date with Tayshia.
And it's actually a little painful because he doesn't really know. He's kind of nervous and doesn't know how to be with her. Like, he put that stuffed octopus, like, on her head. It's just just be cool, dude. Yeah. Be cool.
He has no chill.
No.
But I actually, this is the part of Colton that I enjoy most because it feels real.
Yeah.
It feels like how you might act if you had no chill and you were going on a date with someone that you're like, I'm really
14.
Lucky. Well, yeah. I mean, he also does remind me of a 12-year-old a little bit. Like, not in a bad way. Just like, so does Cassie. So, you know what? Maybe it's appropriate.
Yeah.
They
but
do
in different
feel
ways.
Young.
Yeah. They are young.
Yeah. Yeah, but they feel even younger than they are.
Right.
To me.
Yeah, because Colton is a few years older than Cassie.
Yeah, they just, like, he feels like a young 26-year-old and she feels like an even younger 23-year-old.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I tend to look at the 23-year-olds on the show and be like, they're young, they haven't figured their life out yet. And with Cassie, it's like, she feels young in the way that a 19-year-old feels young, mm-hmm. as opposed to how a 23-year-old feels young.
Yeah. Which is definitely proven later on, but yeah. We will not skip ahead.
I can't wait. So
now, we too are building to the climax.
Okay,
guys.
Sorry.
This is all just foreplay. Yeah. Virgin. Okay, so she is also having a good time. She's like, Colton's really easy to love. They're dancing on a bridge to music. She sees a future with him. They wander the streets and make out. Colton says he wants to feel the way he felt today and be with someone he feels crazy about and can't keep his hands off of and explore together with his wife. That's what he wants.
Yeah, he's just like
the
saying.
The closet's got a little tangled.
But he's that's pretty what he clear wants. That yeah. Cassie yeah, yeah. is his future wife yes. in the context of this show.
Yeah.
He said that she makes him feel complete.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been saying he's in love with her for like 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
No. He was falling.
Oh, sorry. He was falling.
Last week he
was in love. Oh. I think so.
No, you're probably
because
right.
then he said, what I need to know this week is that he needed confirmation that Cassie was in love.
Right. Yes. So they stop and do some, like, dancing with the locals, and then an old couple cuts in and, like, separates them, and he gets, like,
upset.
He's like, dude, that's my girlfriend.
Right. It's like, it didn't seem like a joke. He was genuinely like, hey, elderly Portuguese man, that's my girlfriend you got there. And he's like, are you sure you're okay with this?
To the man's wife.
Yeah. She's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I haven't verbally heard that she's falling in love, but she's given me every reason to think she's falling for me. I'm sure that I love Cassie. Tonight could be the night of sex.
Because he's a virgin. Because he forgot.
So they end up sort of cuddling and hanging out on this sort of rooftop terrace sort of thing. Cassie's like, this is great. No red flags. Which is definitely the first thing you think when you're in love. And they connect on so many levels. He makes her feel safe. From every angle you look at today, he's perfect. Again, sounding very genuinely excited.
She's trying to talk herself into this.
Yeah. And so they sit down and have a toast. And they're both like, can you believe how beautiful Portugal is? I really can.
They're like, no, I didn't even know Portugal was a nation until like
they really
five
had
days
no
ago.
Idea. And then they start talking about Cassie's family.
Ooh.
And this is where things really take a turn.
Yes.
And so, then continue to turn over and over and over again.
This was such a bizarre conversation. So he says, you know, I liked your family. She says they liked him. He says they had a lot of questions for me. They really care for you. And my conversation with your dad was the most challenging. And she's like, yeah, same. And he's like, what was the hardest part for your dad? And she says, it's such a big commitment and they're worried that I'm ready, you know, to do it so quickly. And he says, I did ask your dad for a blessing and did not get his approval.
She is just shaken by this.
She actually sounds kind of pissed.
Yeah, and she makes it sound like she's torn, like she's distraught. But to me, it came off as anger at her dad.
Yeah. And at Colton.
Like, for not telling. Yeah, she was like upset that he hadn't told her sooner or something.
I think she was also upset that he
wasn't more upset.
Was not sufficiently upset about it.
Yeah.
This was
odd.
She
mentioned it twice during the day and in the evening.
Like, are you sure you're okay with it?
Yeah. Which immediately I wrote in my notes, she sounds difficult.
So it seemed like this odd mix between her putting a massive premium on her dad's approval, but also I got the sense that she had doubts and insecurities about this, and this was sort of playing on that. And like she was almost looking for an out, and all of a sudden she's like, I don't feel sure about this. And my dad didn't even basically sign off on me doing this thing.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess my doubts are correct.
Mm. Right. Like she thought that she had gotten the sign off even though they had a tough conversation. And it turns out that behind her back, she had not gotten the sign off. This is all so healthy. I can't believe that this
poor
went
bad. Colton, too, because there's no way he hadn't talked to a producer about whether or not he should tell Cassie this. And was obviously told to tell Cassie this, and it was just it was just like, ugh, poor guy.
I know. He just, his face drops, and he tries to say, like, this doesn't change
my
anything.
Feelings for you.
I feel like this is kind of a lose-lose for Colton.
Yes.
Like, because he, if it's the kind of girl, which Cassie clearly isn't, who doesn't need her dad's approval, then telling her that you asked for his permission is not going to come off well. But if she is the kind of girl who needs that approval, which she is, then telling her you didn't get it is not going to come off well. So telling her, I asked for your dad's permission, he said no, is like a guaranteed she's not going to react well revelation.
Yeah.
So it goes poorly. She's very much like...
I'll also point out that this is another... Like, it exposes the flaw in the whole permission thing. Like, if you need the permission, but then if you don't get it, it doesn't change anything.
Yeah, then
like,
you really didn't need it, did you?
Need it.
Need is not... Gotta switch out need.
Had to throw that in.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, so that doesn't bother you? And he's like... Well, no, it won't discourage me at all. It doesn't change how I feel about you. And it's like you kept saying you needed the approval and you didn't get it. And now you're saying that it's not going to change anything except that you're, like, not happy, which is meaningless.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm surprised because you seemed so happy with the conversation, which is where I really felt, like, genuinely started to feel like she was pissed at him for not being more upset about this.
Mm.
Like, she's like, the correct reaction would be that you would be – really
I don't know.
Upset.
It was hard for me to tell what she wanted. I think she was taken aback and suddenly filled with this like dread of the reality that she was in and just was like freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
I think you're giving her a lot of credit.
More too much credit. Probably.
Yeah. No, I just based on that, like I lean more towards like I kind of feel like she was angry and was finding ways to apply that anger to the people around her. So it's like, how could my father leave me feeling like like he was signing off on it, but he didn't give him this? How could Colton leave that conversation not getting the approval and be okay with it? And how could he not tell me at that time? Do you know what I mean? It's like she was like placing blame
on all these
people.
I was confused about where her anger was genuinely meant to be directed.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah,
well,
I feel like
this is kind of the issue with this whole system. And Cassie is very conservative and from a very conservative background.
Right.
And we have criticized Colton for wanting to get permission. And I genuinely stand by all that criticism. Cassie is someone who it's also important to, obviously. But what this means is that Colton and her dad are having this very important conversation about her future that she's been boxed out of. She doesn't really know what's happening, but she's not mad about that because that is what she wants. That's what she's been taught to want. What she's really, you know, sort of mad about is that she doesn't know if they are kind of having that conversation in a way that is going to guarantee her happiness. Like she's like, it is their job to kind of that they're entrusted with brokering this deal in a way that that ends up with her being a happily married woman forever, and they're messing it up. And I feel like her anger is with them, and it's because they have been, in her worldview and her family's worldview, given this enormous responsibility of figuring out her happiness for her.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think that's a really good
point.
That
is very interesting, yeah.
And... Yeah, I mean,
and it continues.
And, but also, like, that is exactly why we stand by our criticism of the system in the first place because it inevitably creates these situations. That worldview mixed with the structure of this show, which precipitates this need to be completely sure that you want to marry someone within 8 weeks, and any doubts are like mean that you need to fundamentally exit that relationship, which in the real world is not how it works. Because a couple months into dating someone, you might be like, I'm very into this person. We'll see how it goes. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back to talk a whole lot more about that epic fence jump. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge, ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
So they end the day portion of the date with her very confused, very sad. She doesn't know if he's the right person. She's never been so confused about something so big, which makes sense because she's 23. And it's time to go back and get ready for the night date. But wait, who's that pulling up?
There's a knock.
In a van, in loose jeans and old sneaks. So we know that it's not Colton because he's always wearing boots. And it's Cassie's dad.
And not loose jeans.
Not loose jeans. Very tight jeans. Tight as his legs. So Cassie's dad knocks on a door and Cassie opens it.
She is just shocked and very excited.
For a moment, I was like, is her dad here to be like, Colton, I thought it over and you have my permission? No, that is definitely not what he's doing.
You know what? I'm glad that wasn't it. That would have been far too boring.
Me too. Yes. She's like, what the heck? Why are you here? She's so clean cut, you guys. And he says, you know, that he came because he is concerned with this potential engagement. He's not convinced she's in love. And for him, marriage and engagement is around the corner to your relationship with God.
Second only.
Yeah, second only. Yeah. It's like basically the same as God.
I definitely feel like, considering it's season 23 of the show and how loosely people have considered the proposal, like, it just sort of feels like, I don't know why suddenly.
Well, like, I mean, it's such a weird thing because the show, like, prioritizes traditional marriage in this enormous way.
Yeah.
And such that it kind of courts a Christian viewership. Yeah. And, like, and contestants. And we've often had very Christian contestants.
Yes.
Because who else would want to just, like, launch right into a marriage? Not very many people. But then you hit, like, a point where you've gone too far. Like, these girls are too Christian to get engaged so quick.
Yeah.
Because they to get engaged without being sure that they're definitely going to get married and stay married forever. They've overshot the Christian.
And that's what you get with a virgin lead. Yeah.
I also think there's an element of most people who go on the show, especially at this point, because there's a pretty clear trajectory that you can follow post-show, go on understandably thinking, I'm not going to make it that far.
Yeah.
Like, they don't anticipate that the outcome is going to be the potential of an engagement, because for the vast majority of women who go on the show, it's not.
When I went on this show, I was like, oh, I'll probably last like 2-3 episodes. It'll be a fun thing I did. Like, I didn't think it was going to like borderline change my life.
And you were in that awkward position that Cassie is sort of in, where like all of a sudden the lead is like in love with you and you're like, oh no,
we'll get to that later because I do have thoughts on that.
Oh boy, great. This is perfect. Okay, so he sits down with his daughter and basically gives this hard pitch for her to leave the show.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to you after I talked to Colton. And she's like, yeah, I heard that you didn't give him a blessing. And he says that wouldn't be diligent. He's got to really, you know, like if you're going to invest in a land deal.
So, yeah, you got to do your research.
Exactly. She wishes they had been more supportive. And her dad is basically like, Colton seems nice, but you seem very conflicted. He said he was falling in love with you, but do you love him? And she says, I think I do. And then she has a long pause. And then she says, yeah.
It really did not sound enthusiastic at all. And I was so torn about this conversation because there were certain things that her dad said that I was like, this feels not correct. But ultimately, he was right.
Yeah, yeah.
She was looking for an out. She isn't sure, and she's not ready to get engaged.
Yeah. And he was right about how there shouldn't be any hesitation. Like, when you know, you should kind of know.
I did take issue, though, with the idea that, like, from moment one, you should have no doubts about the person.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Right, because he said, I never had a doubt about your mom, ever. Like, you should never have a doubt. And a lot of couples
every relationship is
go
different.
Through that. And not every couple goes through that. But, like, you look at the vows section and they all – basically half of them broke up for a while before they got married. Like, it's pretty common. So, like, for him to be like, if you've ever had a doubt about a guy, that means he's not the one for you. That seemed like a lot. Then again, probably not a great time to get engaged is when you're feeling doubt.
Right.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's somewhere between.
Right. That was that push-pull that I was feeling with the conversation. Because I'm like, in this moment, he is correct that she should probably not get engaged.
Right. Yeah. But on the other hand, you know, I really felt throughout this episode, and this is sort of where it began, that Cassie has not been kind of taught to stand on her own feet and make her own decisions, and that she is very susceptible to the last person she talked to. And she is very capable of having her mind swayed. And for her dad to be coming in, like, this is very unusual for us to see a parent come in and try to convince their
child. It's
the
child. First time I can think of.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah. We'll see an ex-boyfriend do it sometimes.
I thought it was, based on the previews, you thought.
But that's a paradigm. Like, the ex-boyfriend one is one I find very unhealthy in a lot of ways. Like, oh, she belongs to her ex still or whatever. But it is still a paradigm in which this is an adult woman who has made romantic decisions and has an independent romantic life. Whereas this feels more like she is accustomed to having her dad make decisions for her and that he feels like it is his job to tell his 23-year-old daughter what to do.
It almost felt like she still lived at home.
I think she does.
Oh. I think she does.
Sorry, I wouldn't have said that if I had known. Okay, one thing I wanted to say is, did anyone else get Becca Tilly vibes during this?
Oh, interesting.
It was very Becca Tilly, where she was like, she was pretty much like, I don't want this to be over yet. Like, she's like, I still like him. Like, does it have to end with an engagement?
Yeah.
Just like it felt a 2.0.
No, I did get some of that. I did feel like Cassie is genuinely into Colton to an extent, but there is just an immense amount of pressure to make a massive commitment in this show. I mean, the first handful of seasons of The Bachelor, the show didn't used to always end in an engagement. It often didn't, and that was still considered
a success.
A success
love story.
And now it's like you have failed if it doesn't end in a proposal, because that is
I
just
really
so much
Juan
more
Pablo
sweeping.
I think Juan Pablo also soured us on that, because his way of saying let's date instead was so mean.
Right. He was like, I don't love you.
Right. I don't love you, but like I'm not going to give you this ring, but like we can hang out. Like,
here's
I feel
a rose.
Like there's a romantic way to do it. But yeah, I mean, there's so much pressure on Cassie, and she's really kind of unraveling. Like, it seems like her dad has picked up on some doubts that she had, but it's also the case that, like, that I think that he has too much influence over her. It felt like she has never really and still is not learning how to make independent decisions, and that was, like, can you imagine a parent coming in and telling one of the bachelorette suitors, like, having this conversation with them?
No.
I can't.
And that makes me uncomfortable. So at one point, he's essentially like, if you're having this hesitation, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with him. And she's like, but I really like him. I care about him. I'm not ready for this to be over. And he's like, well, I don't want to dictate to you, but, like, that's what you gotta do. You gotta leave.
She feels even younger and more childlike with him. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, it's just so crazy how, like...
Which, like,
but does this person
sense,
so not ready for, like, a lifelong partnership, marriage, and all the stuff? Just even, like, a committed relationship, it almost feels like.
I mean, yeah, certainly not with Colton at this moment.
No.
And, yeah. No, I share all of your thoughts, Claire. I do still feel like this was somewhat of a convenient out for her. Like, she was grasping and she was trying to talk herself into it and reassure herself that, like, yeah, just go with the flow and go through the process and see how it pans out. And now she's, like, being presented with, like, this compelling voice giving more weight to those doubts that were already there.
And I don't want to totally discount the fact that she and her dad clearly have a great relationship and that
he's a caring parent.
He cares a great deal about whether she's happy. And, like, he's picked up on a real hesitation that she has. That doesn't, like, get rid of all of my other concerns about this
dynamic.
No,
it's complicated. And he does at one point even say, like, if you had come in and we had gotten the sense that you were very into this, that would have been a different conversation.
Yeah, and it felt like something that the family had established.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there was a bunch of conversations that went on between the family and the producers before any of this was put together.
Yeah.
So Cassie has decided she's going to be totally honest with Colton. She hopes she can go through with it.
Because she's got to leave.
Yeah. meanwhile, Colton is like, date ended badly, but it's okay. I'm going to put on my scarf and my jacket.
He's like, suddenly he's the one lighting those candles.
He's like, wow, got to be super prepared for the sex that's going to happen tonight.
It's like, nothing is going to stop me. This is the night. So she shows up, seeming pretty normal, in a silver sweater dress. Very cute.
She looked great.
I was really distracted by how cute it was the whole time.
It was a mean dress to wear for
I know. Okay, to go back to another fashion choice, I really need to know where Cassie got her, like, combat boots that she was walking around Portugal in earlier. They were very cute. If someone could locate
them. I'll work on it.
Yeah, just putting out the bat call to our listeners.
Yeah.
I would like to purchase them.
Emma is a great boot wearer, and she's in the market, so help us out. they toast. She's like, oh no, my red wine might stain my teeth. Doesn't matter. She's not going to be sticking around long enough for that to happen. And he's like, even though your dad said I couldn't have the blessing, it doesn't change how I feel. I'm going to keep giving it everything I has. And she's like, that's funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking about that too, and how I really thought it would bother you more.
This really bugged
me. A brutal
me.
Way to, yeah. to go into yeah. it.
Yeah, like, she similar to on the day-date, but even more so now, she is sending out a very strong signal that she's, like, disappointed in Colton.
It feels like she's picking a fight.
Right. to like, me. She's like, you basically, you had the wrong reaction to this, and I'm concerned about it. And he's like, well, it does bother me, but it doesn't change how I feel. And she's like, I know that.
She's like, I know you're very in love with me. We've established that.
Like, back off, buddy. And then she's like, well, my dad came to my hotel and we talked. And he said he never had any doubts about my mom. And I would hate to see him leave not having what he came for. And like that kind of someone who like doesn't have any doubts. And he's like, well, but if it's not the person I feel the strongest for, it's not worth it. I think Colton's actually kind of right. And yeah, even though everyone warned him about Cassie and he didn't listen and they were all right, he was also right because you should probably just go with the person you like.
Right. You should follow his heart.
Okay, what you want is an engagement, but obviously you don't just want an engagement with anyone who will take you. Yeah.
Personally, I do. Yeah. That was my only standard.
Yeah, you were like, if you want me, who cares about what I want?
And so she's like, I hate that you said that.
I think she was maybe hoping that, like, he was going to be like, well, actually, Hannah G's my person.
Right.
So it's fine. You can leave.
I mean, she came into this is what happens when you come in with, like, the Elise conversation or whatever. And instead of him being like, well, it was going to happen sooner or later, so goodbye now.
Yeah.
He just fights tooth and nail to keep her. She's not making his decision easier.
No, and she's also saying things like, it's for you. I don't want you to find... Like, in the end, the only way she was able to really go is by saying, this is the best decision for me. Like, she couldn't make it about him anymore.
Right. But,
sorry, and I keep skipping ahead.
No. I mean, I feel like that's usually a safe play on The Bachelor because there are so many choices for him that you can just be like,
oh,
you can do better. And he'll be like, I probably can. Yeah. So but in this case, it backfired because he had already decided on her.
Right.
And she's, you know, she's like, the day was so perfect and I love you so much, but I don't feel in love and I don't know why I'm not.
Poor Colton.
And you could just see, like, my stomach dropped just looking at him through this whole thing because you could sense.
He was trying so hard to keep it together and he's clearly so good at keeping it together.
Right. And this was just, I mean, it was a very realistic moment where you can tell he's trying to think about this rationally, make sure that they've kind of had the discussion they need to have.
Yeah, and but he doesn't want to regret not, you know, quote unquote, fighting for her.
Right.
It was a very real
But the dread is like, is sinking in.
Yes.
They're
and, oh, sorry, before we move on, also you can see him feeling like, for the first time the whole season, like one of the lab rats. Do you know what I mean? Like when he finds out that Cassie's dad came, he, you know, he feels he's close with his producers. Like he feels like he knows what's going on. He's supposedly in this position of all-knowing
right.
and
but
power.
But they flew this guy in.
Yeah, they flew this guy in.
To throw a wrench in the relationship.
In the middle of his, you know, whole day with her, you know, like in this couple of hours where they're not together, they flew in her dad. It's so crazy. And you can see him look around and like clock the fact that he's, you know, one of them now. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like absolutely. And I think that's why we see that real anger towards the end.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
He's like, I am done being your pawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yes.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And he, you know, is shaking, physically shaking. Yeah. He, like, you can hear him shaking.
Mm-hmm. The chatter.
It's very, very visceral and painful to watch.
And this is definitely a thing that happens to me during breakups. Like, that uncontrollable full body shake, even if it's not cold. Like, I went through a breakup fairly recently, a few months ago, and, like, this happened to me. And so I was watching this whole thing being like, oh God, this is very, very real.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who's like, he just happens to be taped during it.
Yeah. And this is when it really shifts, like once she's gotten her speech out, to him making that pivot from maybe this conversation just isn't going that well to I have to stop her from breaking up with me.
I will say whatever it takes.
Whatever. Like, so she gets up and walks out. Then she's like,
she's talking to production.
Right. Then she's telling production, I'm so confused. I'm second guessing it. He goes out and gets her.
Which I like that he did. I just feel in that moment she should be talking to him and not to her producer.
Not to the producers. Yeah. And so they keep talking. He's like, I'm okay with being patient. She's like, I know, but I don't know if I'm going to get there. And he says, have you already made your decision? And she says, I don't know. I don't know. And then he says, look at me. I don't want to lose you.
Uh-uh.
Can we sit back down? So they
I'm getting really upset rereading this stuff.
It's really sad. And so they walk back to the couch area. It's just, oh, God.
And he's like, this is the rest of my life. The last thing I'm going to do is give up and walk away from this relationship. And she's like, I wish that I knew. And he says, it's okay not to know. And she's like, I don't know if it's okay not to know. I feel like I should by now.
And this is where the timeline of the show really screws people up. Mm-hmm. Or it can screw people up because it sets up, again, like you have failed in figuring out whether this is the relationship for you because you haven't done it in this, you know, chosen, prescribed amount of time. Mm-hmm. And that's not how actual dating works.
Not typically. I do agree with you until he pretty much gives her all the outs that he can. Do you know what I mean? Where he's like,
right.
He's it's like we don't have to get engaged. Like we can just see how it goes.
Does
like,
he explicitly say that?
Yes.
Yeah. He says they don't have to get engaged.
He says every relationship moves at a different pace. Mm-hmm. And at the end of this, if we're not ready for an engagement, we're not ready for an engagement.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I missed that. Yeah. I mean, I think she also walked into this being like, my doubts are too strong.
Yeah. She's like, I can't. The next 2 weeks isn't enough time. He says, forget the next 2 weeks. You're putting an unrealistic timeline on it. And it's like, no, The Bachelor is putting an unrealistic timeline
on it.
What
a great, kind of an amazing line to have in this show.
Yeah, seriously.
He's like, I care about you. I love you. I want it to be you at the end of this. Even without an engagement, I feel that strongly. He's really
but
like
but then
begging.
Even her answer to this, there were so many things she did that I was like, her answer to that is, how can you say that with two other girls here? Like it felt like in response to all these, you know, big
really
moments
honest.
Where he was real, he was like, I love you, I don't want to lose you, we don't have to get engaged. She either said I don't know or said, how can you say that with two other girls here?
Right, she's almost trying to play back in the game of the show, and he has fully left it.
Yes, that is exactly what it felt like.
Yeah, he's clearly, like, he's not thinking about the date he still hasn't taped. Like, in his mind, he's like, this is the only relationship that actually matters. Mm-hmm. This is the breakup that that will determine my future.
Yeah.
And, like, and she's still like, well, but there's these other calculations. But he has left those behind.
Yeah. And you guys are being kinder to her than I was in my recap. What I really don't like is that at every turn, she still made it about her. Mm. So it's like, I don't know. I don't think
that's
I've ever been
so
conflicted in my entire life. When talking to her producer, who I'm pretty sure is Todd, she said, I didn't think it would be this hard. I don't know what to say. Like, where is the
empathy for him?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, she should feel some degree of, like, regret or, like, you know, she didn't
was
even
there
apologize.
I was going to say, was there an I'm sorry in there?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's bizarre to me. Like, in many ways, I do sympathize with Cassie, partly because I've been the Colton where I've been, like, begging someone not to dump me. And I feel so much guilt about that years later. I feel like that's a really hard thing to put a hard position to put someone in. Mm. And so I put Cassie in the position of, like, someone that I love that I did this bad thing to where I, like, made them dump me over and over again for like 7 hours. And I was like, man, that sucks for her. But also it is very, I mean, everyone was right and Cassie denied it.
That's the other piece. It's like she made it all about her and was not remotely sympathetic or as sympathetic as she should have been or apologetic.
Yeah.
But yet 2 weeks ago, she was calling Kirpa an idiot here's the thing. I have mixed feelings about all the rumor spreading. I wish they hadn't gotten involved.
Yeah.
But given it happened.
But they were correct.
Yeah. Given it happened and the rumors ended up being true, you would think that she, like, that would have been a moment to, like, if she were ethical, to have been like, well, actually, you know, instead of just.
Right. And we talked to Nick about this, and he sort of said, you know, that she probably got that upset because she felt the strongest. And, like, she probably acted weird because she felt the strongest. And that's not true.
No, I don't think that's the case at all.
I don't think that she felt the strongest at all. And I think that she did get very offended when it was implied that she might do something like this.
I think that's just the reaction of a defensive personality.
Right. Yeah, I think she was just very defensive that people might think that she wasn't deserving.
Yeah, and no matter how you slice this, it all comes back to her and preserving her image.
Mm-hmm.
Like, either she was just telling him what she wanted to hear until she didn't want to be there any longer, or she was, in face of all, like, the rumors and everything, she was shooting them all down because she wanted to preserve her, you know, I am here for the right reason.
Yeah, I think there was a natural defensiveness.
Yes.
I also think that she genuinely has a lot of uncertainty and perhaps doesn't know herself and know how to read and articulate her emotions enough.
Yes.
Which,
I think that as long as the dynamic was a house full of girls who wanted to marry Colton, she was like, so I want to marry Colton. When it's her family and they have doubts, she's like, so I have doubts. When it's Colton begging her to stay, she's like, maybe I should stay. Mm. She doesn't have any, like, solid, like, sense of self in her decision making.
And this is why she seemed so young.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And it was very hard for me. Like, I think the main reason that I had so much sympathy for Cassie, actually, is because to see her being, like, pulled between two men who wanted to sort of, through the force of their own conviction about what she should do, make the decision for her, you know, and she was sort of, she gave into that. Like, she was, like, she wasn't sure who she should go with. She just felt confused. And I looked at that and I was, like, none of this is really about Cassie, actually. Like, it's not about what she wants, really, for Colton or for her father in a certain way. It's like I felt like she was just like a tug of war toy or something. And it seemed to me like someone who had never really been taught how to do what she wanted for herself. And in the end, it didn't really seem like she had that many, like, feelings at all, like, which is not very sympathetic. Mm. But it also just sort of seems like the role that she's been trained into. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so conflicted about it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know exactly where I land on this. Yeah. I'm agreeing with what both of you are saying.
I will say, for Colton, when she finally said leaving is the right decision for me, he was like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, he did stop fighting when she said that was what she wanted.
I didn't feel like, to me, the Colton bargaining felt less calculated or thinking that what she wanted didn't matter, and more that, like, the feeling that people often get when someone that they care really deeply for is pulling away and they are grasping at straws for, like, how can I adjust myself enough? How can I make the right argument that will land in the right way and force you to see that this is actually something worth pursuing? And so I felt this, like, deep, deep empathy for both of them, actually, because that is just a crappy position to be in. Mm-hmm. Neither of those things feel good. And, like, and yet this was also perhaps the most compelling part of the whole season, because it didn't follow the formula that we're used to seeing. It felt like, of course it was produced, but it felt like this genuine moment was captured on camera. And Claire and I wrote about why the Ari-Becca breakup was so compelling. Obviously, super difficult to watch, but compelling when that happened. And we talked about the fact that these, like, unrehearsed extended breakups are things that you don't often get. You don't get a window into outside of your own. And so there is something really wild and, like, very intense about getting to watch that as a true observer. Like, we're often let into people's happy moments, their love stories, but to watch something like this, you automatically relate your own experiences to it.
Totally.
And it feels like a great reminder that, again, that these people are actual human beings.
You had said about what, you know, it wasn't really about what Cassie wanted. It was about what the tug of war thing. I do feel like, to tie back into, like, the timeline, the strict timeline, I feel like if it were up to her, she would have just dated this guy for a while and had, like, a nice time, maybe a few months. Like, but it's even him taking the pressure off about the engagement and everything, it's still, there is still a ton of pressure, because in 2 weeks it's like, well, we're together, we're dating towards an engagement.
And then the tabloids are
tracking. Oh, they're on the cover of People,
and you have to make a coordinated statement if and when you break up.
Yeah, because also I think she had made up her mind at that point and was like, I'm going to be leaving. And then he was like, what if I took away all of the factors? And she's like, oh, I don't know. Does that change it? Like, my dad told me how to feel about the engagement, but he didn't tell me how to feel about just dating for a while.
Yeah.
And now I'm confused again. Like, I it was so weird, like, watching a woman pulled between these two very, like, rigid sort of structures that tell her how to get married, mm-hmm. basically, and to be like, these are not suited to my actual feelings.
Mm. I kind of feel like she was, like, she was going to leave, talk to the shrink for a while, and then, like, have a vacation in Portugal with her dad.
I mean, I bet she would much more enjoy that.
My dad's actually waiting for me right now, so I really have to go. It's the best thing for me.
So finally, they, you know, put on their coats. They go to say goodbye. She's like, I want you to be with someone who's insanely in love with you. And he says, that breaks my heart. It actually was kind of like a mean thing to say.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know that yet. She's young. And she's like, it breaks my heart. And she's like, I can't do this to you. I can't stay and maybe not get there. And he's like, I wasn't expecting you to know right now. And she's like, I'm going to go. Also, are you mad at me?
Yeah. Like, yes, certainly.
That's the second time. She's already asked her dad, like, whether he would be mad at her for making a different decision.
Also, guess what? When you break up with someone, they're allowed to have anger.
They definitely like- are. But I think it is, like, telling of her maturity level and also of the way we expect women to, like, deal with men's emotions that she has asked both her dad and her, like, boyfriend or whatever whether they would be mad at her for making a decision about that relationship.
Right.
Like,
that's not actually the thing that should determine your decision.
Like, and also it puts you in the position of being selfish. If you're like, I want to manage this, I should be, like, making these people happy, but then to turn it into, are you mad at me,
that's,
is a very selfish question to ask.
Right. Yeah, that was my takeaway. Yeah. I was wondering if you were going to say that. Like, I feel like to say, are you mad at me, especially to Colton in this moment, it was just like, it's not about
mad.
You, bitch.
Yeah, it's not. Well, that's my point.
Like, if he is, like, mad at you, he's allowed to be and
exactly,
deal with it.
Exactly. Like, when you are the person doing the breaking up, yeah, it's not an ideal position to be in. But you are still the one making that decision.
Yes.
A decision that the other person doesn't want you to make.
Yeah.
So whatever their emotions are about that after the fact, that is no longer something that you can dictate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that people need to accept when they are making that decision. Like, yeah, someone might be very heartbroken. They might be really angry. Mm-hmm. They might want to talk to you again. They might never want to talk to you again. And guess what? Like, that is that person's prerogative to feel any of those things.
Yes.
Yeah. But he can't be mad at her. He loves her too much.
Oh,
and she gets in the van, drives away. Colton walks up the...
Oh, by the way, in the car, I'm pretty sure is where she sheds her first real tear.
Yeah, she does start crying.
And she still looked beautiful.
If I were Colton, I think the thing that would have upset me the most is
that
I was, like, shaking like a leaf, like, very upset, and that she was just sort of like, oh, okay.
That said, I will say I am one of those people that in, like, a heated emotional moment like that, when someone else is crying, I become more focused on them crying than, you know,
yeah, I think some people just have that.
Yeah,
it's have that reaction, and then it sinks in after. Yeah.
Yes, totally.
I'm just remembering when I was around her age, so many mutual sobbing breakup conversations. So I don't relate to that.
Oh yeah, I mean,
there's nothing
was definitely
wrong
always
with
the one sobbing.
But. No, usually it was like everyone ended up crying by some way or another.
There is no way she's ever had her heart broken. There's just no way. You can tell by how she dealt with that she's never had her heart broken.
Yeah.
Because it was, again...
No, I think that her last boyfriend who was on the reality show with her, the
he
whole
was
thing
in love
was
with
that
her.
He was trying to get her back.
Yeah.
I don't know, just the way she dealt with all of it.
No, I think you might be right.
Also because she said, I can't imagine ever not having doubts about someone. Like, and I think I would have said about my boyfriend who broke my heart that I was totally sure. Because that's what makes it so, that's what made it so devastating is that I was like, I'll never be sure about someone again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was my chance. turns out not to be true, so it's fine. But yeah, it seems like she'd never experienced like enough love to really be devastated.
Yeah. It felt like she had never experienced anything remotely like what he was experiencing in that moment.
Right.
Just based on how she, you know.
Right.
comforted
she,
him or
she's
didn't.
She's still sad. Like, she cries in the van. She's like, I feel bad about how it went. He, meanwhile, is like stormed up the stairs.
Because at this point, he is pissed, and he's pissed at production.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
like,
he should be.
And he
stormed
should be.
Up
to
understandably. Suite, slams the door behind him. He's very pissed.
And he has his, he's still mic'd up at this point.
Oh, but not for long.
No, no. What does he say? He says, I'm done with this.
He comes out. He's holding something in his hand. Is it like
his phone? I think it's his wallet. I think it's a phone or wallet or something. Yeah. He's like, I'm going out on my own. He went to get it. Yeah, yeah, he went to like gather his things. He came back out with his coat on. He's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I am going to like the resort next door.
He pushes the camera aside as he goes down the stairs. And
this
was so exciting. He starts going.
It's like Colton's on the move.
Yeah.
I know. I love when they start showing like producers being like, wait, what are, what?
Yeah. They're like, can someone get Chris? It's like, Chris is not going to be able to fix this situation, guys. So Chris comes out and is sort of ambling along. Like, Colton.
Chris is like, look, I'm not going to run.
No.
That's not in my contract.
That's not on brand for Chris Harrison.
Did anyone else think of the Truman Show during this?
No, but that's a great comparison.
Yeah, it really blew me away, especially when they were like, let's get Chris Harrison, and they reminded me of when they called in like Truman's like dad.
Yeah, to try to convince him to stay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like no one. He doesn't trust anyone there anymore. He's just found out that it was all a lie. Like the idea that he's part of it, as you point out, has been exposed.
Yeah. He thought he was on the production side, but he's really another lab rat.
Right. So as Chris spots Colton,
and he's very
like
menacing.
Him.
Like you suddenly realize that he's like 6'3" and
large.
Like very large and very strong. And suddenly it's like I feel like if you see like Chris Harrison, like,
I know Chris
trotting
is this,
up
like,
to him,
this, like skinny. It wouldn't, I mean, and he's not short, but like he's not like a built dude.
Yeah.
Colton is a very large man.
Yeah.
And he's
very
just
imposing.
Yeah, walking very quickly. He's an athlete.
Yeah.
And then we get like the most athletic moment this show has ever seen.
I cannot tell you how many times I've rewatched
that. Oh my God. He just very gracefully hoists himself over this. He like massive
bounds over
it.
It
was like 6.5 feet tall, that thing.
Yeah.
And there was no strain. It was just like he just like bounced right up.
That's what I mean. It was graceful.
Yeah.
And Chris Harrison is just in shock and delivers his greatest moment. I mean, if you have to bleep Chris Harrison, you know you are catching him genuinely off guard.
Yes.
He just goes, he just jumped the fucking fence.
You know what I'm going to say? That was too dramatic. Chris delivered this line very calmly. He was like, yeah, he just jumped the fucking fence.
Right. No, you're right. He was like, what? Just what?
Like, this is the thing. Chris seems so chill through all of this.
Yeah.
And he's just like, Colton. Oh, he just jumped the fucking fence.
My favorite was when, like, a producer came and he was like, I was following him and they jumped the fence. I didn't see which way he
went. And I like when he was like, can someone figure out how to, like, open this gate? He's like, I am not going to try to jump this thing.
Yeah, so they head out. All the producers are running around. Camera goes this way up the road. Camera goes that way.
There's nothing. There's no Colton. Pitch black. Chris is like, did anyone see him? No, none of us know. They genuinely do not know where this guy
and
has
it's run amazing.
Off to.
It's amazing.
It's so
it's
good.
Incredible.
I'm also like, was Colton just wandering off slowly, but it was very dark? Or like, did he just get out of there and start running?
I bet he ran.
I feel like he both walked and ran.
Yeah.
And he has
very long legs. Because, like, they clearly didn't want to shine those, like, camera lights on him anymore because it would, like, provoke him or make him upset. So he was, like, punching
like
cameras.
A wild animal. Don't wave that red flag near Colton. He's going to charge.
But it also means they didn't see which way he went.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we could see far enough down the road that...
Right, he must have taken off.
Yeah,
and
I feel like
he
walked, jumped the fence, then ran for a while,
and then started walking.
That's the craziest thing, is that we've had leads before be like, I don't want to do this anymore. But he
not successfully escaped.
Not successfully. But clearly he was not only like, I don't want to do this anymore. He was like, I have to literally escape because I am trapped here with these psychos.
Yeah.
Like he was like, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And that we've never seen someone have that.
I just want to know,
like they're under threat.
Did he have like Apple Pay on his phone? Was he going to check himself in somewhere? Like it is probably like 1 a.m. at this point.
Mm-hmm. Got to get an Uber. I mean, probably not actually, though, right? Because they had just started dinner. So it was probably
true. It could
a
be on the
earlier.
Like 10. It might have been 10.
And it was in the fall, right? So it probably was like dark out. Maybe it was like 9. Still,
I don't know. It seemed like that breakup took a while.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because we saw like a solid, I mean, who knows? Who knows?
It's fun to speculate where he slept that night.
Yeah, I really want to know. Like,
maybe we'll find out. Yeah. Maybe it will open on like a tiny cottage of a Portuguese like farming family.
Smoke coming out of the
tree. Yeah, I want to see like all of just an extended, more extended sequence of the camera crew like desperately in vans, like searching the streets for Colton. Like, this is the content we need.
Yes.
Yeah. Briefly, in the credits, we cut back to Colton and Tayshia enjoying a breakfast platter and learn that cheese gives him gas. And I was like, you can't do this right now. Like, this is not an appropriate time.
Just cut to black, no jokes. Yes. Just give us, like, more dramatic, you know, cameras turning in a panic.
Exactly. What do we think is going to happen next week when they return? Like, is Hannah G gonna get a fantasy date? Are they gonna get Colton back?
A fantasy date.
And Charlene, you know, you alluded to this earlier. What were your thoughts, given that you are someone who self-eliminated?
Oh, I just for her to go. Okay, it's back to the cat. I mean,
that's fine.
I know,
that's
and I feel bad because you guys are. I thought you'd be more on the same page as me about the casting.
We just have a lot of feelings.
We just have very conflicted feelings. Like, again, I'm agreeing with everything everyone's saying.
Right. Like, everything you say, I'm like, that's right.
It just
right.
felt, like, really convenient that 2 weeks ago she was like, I'm here for you. Like, I'm really into this. Like, those are, like, the people made that up. And then 2 weeks later she's like, actually, like, I don't know. I don't feel like I feel like I should know by now. I mean, I can say, I said this in my recap this week, that, like, when you know, meaning when you know you're not going to fall in love with and marry someone, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially after, you know, I know that there's a lot of discussion in real life, but I just feel like she knew earlier.
Yeah, right. Well, you definitely know when it's a no.
Yeah.
I'm saying you might not know that it's a yes, and that might take some time.
There is a
space in which you are into someone, but you don't know if you'll spend the rest of your life with them. But that is different than being with someone and being like, I know I'm not going to spend the rest of my life with this person.
I just feel like she already knew. And I do think this,
So
this comes back to the
decision
making that
you
were saying, Claire. It's like, I feel like I'm just, I'm beating a dead horse.
I think you're right.
Cassie is getting a lot of hate on social media. Obviously, none of us endorse that.
No.
But like, we can criticize how she handled this. I personally had a lot of sympathy for her at times, but I also sort of felt like she and Kaylin thought that Kaylin would win and that Cassie would get to be Bachelorette. I think that was their plan. And then I think when Kaylin got sent home, Cassie started to be like,
And also think about her time with this producer. I mean, like, she like ran off to this producer to talk to him. Think about like all day in, day out, she feels far closer with this producer than probably even Colton. Like, she's telling him her deepest, darkest secrets, and he's probably like, stick it out. Like, can't you see this? Like, can't you see that? Like, you could be together. And then finally, you know, the dad comes and it's like, well, you should go then. You should go. Do you know what I mean? Like, she has this voice in her ear. And if, like you said, she hasn't really been raised to really stand on her own 2 feet and make those decisions for herself, I just feel like in that setting, and of course I didn't make it nearly as far as her, but it's not like there weren't producers constantly trying to convince me to stay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just that I felt more strongly.
Right. That you should leave.
Yeah,
should leave.
Exactly. Yeah. So I wonder if, you know, if her feelings were stronger and she's, you know, more susceptible to, you know, their persuasion than...
Yeah.
I don't know.
So how do you think that this is going to... How do you think this is going to play out? Because we have... two more episodes.
Is Hannah going to get her date? Is there any way?
I don't think so.
I don't think she should.
I definitely don't think she should. And I don't think she will.
Follow up question. How is she going to find out? Like, are we going to see Colton having that conversation with her? Or is it going to be production? Is she just going to disappear and we never see her again?
I think they're going to track Colton down and be like, you got to dump the other two.
Yeah.
And we're going to see Hannah being like, can't wait for this great overnight date.
Yeah.
And he's going to come in. Break up with her, she's gonna sob. He's gonna break up with Tayshia, she's gonna sob. And then
he's gonna have to go after Cassie somehow.
Yeah, yes, that's what I think.
Oh, I hope he doesn't. I think he will.
I really think he will. He literally said, I'm going to not stop. I'm not going to stop fighting for you even off of this show.
Yeah.
I missed that part.
It's going to be...
I want him to have a happy ending whether or not it involves, like, the love thing. It's just, it was such a heartbreaking episode to watch. Even though I haven't been like a full blown Colton fan all season, yeah. It's just like.
But he is.
He's a nice, like,
he
real
seems
guy.
Like a guy. Yeah. A nice guy.
He seems like a guy.
He's a guy.
Me and Cassie's dad. Yeah. He's a
You're
guy.
In agreement on that.
No. He seems like a nice guy. And I think he has, like, I do think he has a good heart, whether or not I always agree with him.
His actions. Yeah.
Yeah. And. But I
or
do
his
think,
values.
Or his values. No,
or his
no,
needs.
Right. We certainly differ on a lot of things, but I do think he is ultimately a good guy who deserves to be wanted. And, you know, and I think when you're in the position of the lead, you know you're taking on a lot, but your hope is that at the very least, when you make a decision that this person is a person you want to, you know, be with in some capacity, by that point, they won't have stuck around unless they are willing to do that with you.
Yes.
And that is rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel for him.
It was like Brooks 2.0.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Although, you know, remember what happened with Brooks? He left and then Desiree married the other guy who was left. And they have kids now. So, who
but
knows?
That did feel less explicit to me than this.
Yeah,
like,
it did.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I mean, she seemed heartbroken, but it also just seemed really emotional. It's not like she was like, it was going to be you.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Exactly.
But I do think that it was going to be him. Like, I think she's
think
even
it was
admitted
be Brooks?
That later.
Has she?
Maybe I'm hallucinating.
I think it's
that.
The other way around.
Yeah.
I think she claimed
I think
it
she
was
said
always,
it was always Chris.
I don't believe that.
I think she was torn. I mean, I don't know. It didn't. It
You're
definitely
just such a wreck
seemed
at that point, too.
Super right, super emotional. But it didn't strike me in the same like to the same extent as this. Or else I don't think they would have been able to have her go on and go with one of the other guys.
Yes,
like this. It's like there is no chance they can have Colton go and be
propose
like, well, I'll
else.
Settle for one of the other
yeah,
two.
Yeah, yeah. And how could that woman then later watch
oh my
this
God,
episode back?
No.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yes. I love how that Claire's
great.
Googling this right now.
But how do you mean? How great would it be if we had someone end up, like, happily single? But, like, happily. Like, I'm really satisfied or, like, I've been dating
Brad
someone
Womack.
Else. And I'm... Yeah, but I guess he was...
But everyone
hated
him. Yeah, that was different, I guess.
Yeah.
Because Colton is very sympathetic right now.
Yeah.
So everyone will support him no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
For now. So, Charlene, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This has been a delight. I'm just
that was
so
a tough
glad.
One.
I'm glad the fence jump finally happened and it delivered.
Really delivered.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails. Just a couple this week. First, Colton brings up getting the father's permission again, as does Cassie. We're going to give this one a 4. I don't think I need to re-explain our stance on this. We went into it a lot last week, so you get the point.
Yeah. Next, this is a kind of complicated one. Cassie's dad shows up to essentially tell Cassie that he doesn't approve of her getting engaged to Colton and to sway her decision. There is an element to this that's just being a concerned parent. He clearly knows his daughter very well. He cares about her, and that's all really great. But I do find it troubling how much influence he maintains over his daughter's decisions, that it seems to be given that it's his place as the father of the family to sort of guide her romantic life, even though she's an adult. And I don't think that that's ultimately a healthy model for women's relationships. And so I am going to give that a 4, even though, like, this isn't necessarily a personal knock on Cassie or her dad. They seem like very nice, well-meaning people, but I don't think that's a healthy model to perpetuate.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our wonderful guest, Charlene Joint, and of course, our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of Colton season recaps, especially these last couple of weeks when they'll be coming hot and heavy. And remember to give us a 5-star rating and review so other people can find our show. You can give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod. And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. We'll be back tomorrow, yes, tomorrow, for Women Tell All.